This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
Hello, Catherine Collette. She of two books to her name, she who has returned to Melbourne.
Oh my,
I don't know,
God.
Glowing? Are you glowing? You look a bit glowy.
Oh, I don't. I think that's a sweat. I feel worn. I have not barely left the house in the last 2 years, and I feel like I've been all over the place.
How did it feel like that first plane trip? I know you had a very established kind of mask on that Carney had got for you.
Carney was very concerned about the plane trip on my behalf. So we have a cleaning shop up the road from us, professional cleaning shop. So he went to the professional cleaning shop and bought supersonic masks.
I'm so glad.
Look like duck bills. They are so hard to breathe in. I was so deeply uncomfortable. The plane ride to Sydney was full and I had this, it was like hyperventilating into a paper bag. In and out.
Which goes well when, you know, you're anticipating, like, you're doing your first events for your book and you haven't been out of the house in a couple of years.
Yeah, it definitely didn't help the situation, that's for sure. But luckily I had Jane with me, my wonderful publicist.
Oh, I loved the pictures of you and Jane. I particularly enjoyed, and I know that you're too lovely to mention the restaurant, but if people are not following Catherine on the socials, you should be, because there is a quite hilarious text message situation that occurred between you two at one of the restaurants that Jane chose.
This is in Brisbane. Yeah.
Oh, that was in Brisbane.
This was in Brisbane, yeah. So she said we were at a shopping centre and we'd done a bookshop visit. And Jane was like, I love food courts. So she was like, do you want to go to the food court? And I said, no, let's go to a proper restaurant. I probably wouldn't have wanted the food court. Anyway, so she Googled this restaurant and it came up. It had 400 and something reviews. It was ranked 4.7. So we called up and got a reservation. As we got closer, we realized we were going to be early. So we adjusted the reservation. Then we got there and it appeared to be closed, actually open. It's just no one was in there. Kate, the food was inedible. It was.
They've got some bots happening on like Google reviews or something then.
Well, that's the thing. Like it was clearly a restaurant whose heyday was in the early 80s, like long, long past. But Jane and I have had so much back and forth and so many conversations just trying to understand, because these reviews are really recent, and among all these five-star reviews is the occasional sort of mystified person saying, you know, there was hair in my food, the owner was lurking around and was quite rude. You know, what we ordered, we couldn't even eat.
Oh my goodness.
And sort of pushed away, and the waiter came over and basically sort of said, yeah, that particular dish is pretty bad. I really wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. And it was expensive. Sorry, text. It was like $150 for and we
inedible
had like
food.
Water to drink. Yeah, it was bad. It
was
bad and just mystifying. Yeah.
I feel like you can write a good little piece about that, you two, maybe in text
message.
Well,
it's kind of piqued my interest. I want to understand the world of fake reviews now.
Oh my gosh. New book coming.
However that's working though, or maybe new Goodreads sort of book ranking coming. However that's working, like it's a concerted, clever campaign because it really reads as a decent restaurant.
Wow.
I kind of want to take others there. But yeah, it's been really fun.
Okay, tell me, you did some events as well. So you were talking to the very funny David Hunt.
David Hunt, author of Gert.
Yes.
Gert Nation, a Black Ink author.
Sounds like a
best-selling book.
Yeah, sells so many copies. I mean, as it should, David. Well done.
Oh my
God. I haven't actually read it.
Hundreds, bestseller many times over. He is also, and I have experienced this previously, a great person to hang out. And I think you have also.
I have hung out with him until quite late in the evening.
Yeah, he'll stay out late. And he's also, and I don't mean this in a negative way, he's gossipy. not in a negative way, but he's got good stories.
He's got the goss on what went down at festivals.
They're funny. They're interesting. Did you know, though, his book, so Gert, as we both just said, bestseller many times over, when it first came out, one of the chain bookstores wouldn't stock it because they thought it wouldn't sell. And they were wrong.
That is the Julia Roberts moment. Big mistake. Huge. Do they stock it now? I bet you they do.
They do. I definitely saw it in there now.
God, wouldn't that be just an incredible thing to do? Like,
well,
a moment to have.
From that, though, was that the start doesn't dictate the end, does it?
No, it does not. No, we know that. And we say that strongly to everyone who listens to us. The start does not dictate the end.
But we
could be moving to Hollywood, right? You and I.
That's right. Brisbane, restaurants aside, such a nice literary community there.
It's like the gang you want to be in, right?
Oh, my God.
It's like when you're a kid and you wanted to be in a different family and they are the family. The Brisbane Literary Mafia are the family you want to be in.
It's really, really nice. If you are an aspiring writer, I would say go to Avid Bookshop, go to all the events and just hang out because they will eventually befriend you.
It looked very lovely from the outside. I have, you know, my wild green book envy eyes were glowing that night. I was like, I want to be in that room so bad. Like, it's lovely being able to zoom in.
Mirandy. Yeah, it was great.
Everyone was there. And then hearing the little questions and going, oh, my God, all those people are in the audience watching. And then you went out for dinner. Now, I think this is a really cool thing. The really cool thing is that when you go to another state or another place, you need to have like a gang to take you out for dinner. And you did this in both Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. Cass set that up. I think there was like about 10 of us at dinner in the end after the Avid Bookshop event. Highly recommend. The good conversation happens over dinner.
Mm. And it's not a cool gang, is it? It's not necessarily like, you need to have this cool gang. It's like you put it out there, I'm going to be in town. Who's around? Writers just like hanging out with other writers. I mean,
yeah,
we say that. Maybe that's not always true. Maybe we're just not in the cool gang. But
well, I think it's also that it creates an opportunity for them to hang out with each other.
Yes, like absolutely.
It's just that galvanizing.
Absolutely.
Moment.
Now,
but it was great. It was really good.
I'm so glad. I want to talk about a moment closer to home, and I don't know how you felt about this, but I'm just going to center myself for a moment here. When I realized that you had a review out in the Age Sydney Morning Herald, exciting. I looked at the heading, amazing, great. And then I was like, oh, I see who's reviewed you here, Catherine Collette, and it's Jessie too, and I did not know what to expect. Now, I will preface this conversation by saying we've had Jessie on the program, on the podcast. She's great. Read her book, loved her book. We all acknowledge, as I'm sure Jessie does, that she has written some reviews that, you know, have been taken in different ways and poorly by the writing community. So I was a little nervous, to say the least. I will use this moment to hand over to you and say, how are you feeling, Catherine?
Wow. When I found out that Jessie too, and I would agree with everything that you've said, we've had Jessie on the show. She's great. She's also started some, I think, really interesting conversations.
Absolutely.
On the back of reviews that she's written. Yep. Having said that, not sure I want to be the author at the centre of the storm, you know. So when Jane said it was Jessie that was reviewing it, it kept coming back to me, this thing that Jane had sent in, I think it's the previous episode, where she was talking about the role of the publicist and that sometimes publicists have to let authors know that, you know, maybe a particular reviewer can be, you know, a bit more critical than other reviews. So that sentence kept coming back to me and I was like, was that a signpost for me? But really nice review.
Amazing review. It was a great review.
Very positive.
Great review. Brilliant. So did you in fact read it yourself or did you get Carney to read it?
I did read it because Jane had vetted it. I got a few people messaging. So I got Carney to read it and then I was like, okay, I'm good to go.
Okay.
I also had a review in the West Australian paper that Jane had given me a heads up about, and I didn't tell Carney about that one.
Yes.
I contacted Jane after the review had come out and said, tell me what it's like. She described the review as fine but not exciting. So I haven't
Fine but not exciting. You know, actually, yeah. And let me just use this as an opportunity also to apologise to anyone who has tried to be in contact with either Catherine, I, or the podcast in the last little while via socials. Like, it's been a time. I think everyone's experiencing this. The post-pandemic February and March has just kind of elevated itself to a new level of craziness. But we haven't been great. I haven't been great on getting back on the socials. Someone sent me that review, Catherine, and asked me to pass it on to you. And now I can't remember which of our Western Australian friends it was, but I will remember, and I will send it on to you.
Well, there's a paywall, so I haven't been able to read it.
This person must be through the paywall.
That's right.
So we are now post, we haven't done your launch yet. Can you just remind everyone, remind them again at the end, when is your launch? How do they get there?
Coming up on the Wednesday, the 16th of March at Readings. And
for Melbourne
For Melbourne folk, and we will, Readings in Carlton, and we will put a post on our Instagram.
And who is launching that for you?
Presser, former debater, in addition to being author of a wonderful book called The Book of Dirt.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You guys are going to make me laugh.
He was also the voice of Mick Malloy in the movie Boytown.
What?
Yeah. So, which must involve singing. So, he's the singing voice of Mick Malloy. I should have said that because Mick Malloy has a voice.
That is a singing great voice. Little detail about Bram Presser. Very nice. So aside from that, you've been a couple of places, people have read your book. How are you feeling now?
Okay, current vibe, I think, very well summed up. I saw a Twitter thread initiated by Natasha Scholl.
Yes.
Author of Found Wanting.
Yep.
Incredible looking book, visually. I'm very keen to read it. But I think in terms of how books look, it's the nicest one I've seen in a while. I really like it. So she put out a tweet that said words to the effect of, for debut authors, what advice would you have? What do you wish you knew, or what would you do differently? Ella Baxter, who wrote Animal, tweeted, and I quote, "You will feel vulnerable, like your skin has fallen off, and everything will feel loud and rough, and you will love it, but also be humiliated by it. And no one tells you about the sheer amount of shame involved. And then it's over in 3 weeks, and people will ask you what's next." I understand.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah. Right.
Do you feel that?
Oh, God. Why did we have to do 5 years of a podcast? That's basically it. Ella's just nailed it all the time. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so which part you're in? So have you got all through all
the
shame yet?
I think my 3 weeks, 3 weeks of shame is nearly up.
Do you think that the peak and trough of shame and humiliation and buzz is the same second time round? Like, does it happen quicker? Are the highs as high, the lows as low, or is there? Do you get to a kind of a more balanced place?
I think you can see it for what it is a bit better. I think first time that catches you off guard.
Yes.
But then the second time for me, I think you think.
Oh, here comes the shame truck. You know, yeah. I get this.
Such a weird emotion, isn't it, shame?
Oh. Is it useful? Is that the one that's not useful?
I think it's not useful. No, guilt.
Guilt isn't. Is not I think useful. Shame is useful. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, everyone. We are not psychologists.
Sarah Krasnstein followed up, though, with her response was an Andy Warhol quote, which is, "Don't think about making art, just get it done. Let everyone else decide if it's good or bad, whether they love it or hate it, while they are deciding, make even more art."
Yes, this is good. Now, does this mean, are you trying to tell us that you're writing another book, Catherine? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Is this code?
I think that helps, though.
Yeah.
It is the code. You've cracked it.
Yeah.
I do think that helps because I think for most writers, the exciting bit is writing.
Yeah.
Like exciting and, being in the world, all that stuff, but the really exciting bit is.
I know. When you nail a good, the new plot idea, et cetera, et cetera. You're right. You're right. I wish it was the parties.
That's not a nice transition. Mm-hmm. Wonderful plot ideas. How are things going? Have you nailed something recently?
Have I nailed any? I don't actually, I can't say that I've nailed anything in the past 12 months, Catherine, but what have I nailed? I'm working on my book. Leave it at that.
Is that the least you could give away?
This is nothing. Yeah, I know. So let's say that I've done something a bit crazy, and I'm working through the repercussions of that in draft form to my book. Is that any better?
It's better.
It's better.
You've made major changes.
I've made some major changes, and what it means is that I am in, like, talking about the fun part, I'm doing new words again, which is super fun. And I have stuck to, I think we talked about this, or did you and I just talk about it over dinner? I stuck to this thing of doing some 2-hour internet-free intense writing periods, which, like, the other morning I was outside of my house and I was doing this with some other writers as well who were involved in kind of the PhD program. I got 2,500 words in 2 hours.
Wow.
Like, it was nuts. It was crazy. So accountability.
Is that like a shut up and write type?
Yeah, like a shut up and write. So 25 minute session, 5 minutes to chat, bang, straight back on again, 25 minutes, 4 times.
Madora.
Yeah.
That's so ace. Good.
So that has been happening. And in fact, there's a lot of stuff. Like, I'm super excited about going to Adelaide. There's a lot of books piled up around me because there's a bunch of events and things on, which are always super exciting to me. I'm learning lots of things from those books as I'm going. But I'll take this as a point to remind myself, as my amazing PhD supervisor reminded me on Monday, Kate, you are doing a full-time PhD. Just note to self. And I took that on board. It's really intense.
Supervisor
these PhD
is
things.
Such a lame title for a PhD
person.
Overseer,
I know.
Don't you reckon? Like, it's,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they feel about it. To me, they're kind of like godlike. Godlike people who are very
smart. PhD, is it fun?
It is super fun. It's super fun because you get another gang, and you know how I love a gang, and I love to, like, throw ideas around and to talk to people, and there's just so many things that I, you know, when you're doing undergrad, I don't know what your experience of this was, but, you know, you used to get these really, like, heavy readings and you'd feel like, oh my gosh, I have to be so much smarter than I am. And you kind of worked through that period and then you forget about it when you're not confronted with that stuff all the time. And again, I'm in that period, that time where you're reading stuff and going, I know nothing. I know nothing about the world, which is scary, but also it's kind of exciting and invigorating and makes me curious about things. So it's fun.
I think, though, there is particular skill in an academic writer who can make something simple, isn't there?
Totally. Totally. Haven't got that part.
But not heaps of them around.
Yeah.
Okay, your retreat late last year was delayed because of COVID, the one that you were going to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Is that happening this year?
I'm hoping so, but I may have mentioned it out loud for the first time in front of my children recently. And Etta's little face turned around and she said, 4 weeks. And, you know, like, I've done 2 weeks before. I don't think I've ever done, maybe I did 3. No, I think I've only ever done 2 weeks, but it, like, blew her mind. So it's an ongoing conversation. And by that, I mean, I will be going to New Zealand if the opportunity is there, and the conversation will be happening with how the rest of the family copes with that particular thing. Can you imagine 4 weeks on your own? Four weeks on your own and the kind of work you could get done. Like, it blows my mind to even think about it. Anyway.
Are there other people? Is that a Varuna-style setup?
It's at Michael King Writers' Centre in New Zealand, if there's any New Zealand writers listening to us. I think that there's 3 or 4 rooms. So it's like a Varuna situation. I don't know who else is there when I'm there.
Swing.
Who knows? So that's coming up, and we have our amazing Musk retreats. Have you got anything booked in? Have you got, like, time away.
No, I just was thinking, I think there's a certain time of year or moment annually where you start looking at the Creative Vic website yeah. and the OSCO thing and think, oh, will I put in for a grant application?
Yeah.
Which is a lot of work and B, demoralizing when you
yes.
don't get them. But
no, absolutely. And I think that there's been times where I've had the vibe and energy, and as always, everyone always says, if you do one application, you might as well do seven. Like once you've done your budget, your timeline, all that kind of wordy words around what your project is and got your letters of support, you might as well apply to everything. But you do have to be in the right frame of mind. And I remember we've talked about this, I think, really clearly saying, I went for so many things for the mother fault and I got a lot of things, but it also, I wonder in retrospect how much it contributed to kind of stress and having to find my way a bit with that project. So, yeah.
Because grants and things came with demands, or because you were rejected other times?
No, I actually think it's more to do with that. That part where you are having to finesse an idea really early, you know, rather than really sitting in the mess of it for a while. Because even I just had to do something, you know, university related the last week about where my project's at. And even, you know, like putting down those new kind of thoughts on paper for the first time in a context or a summary kind of a document, you're like, oh, hang on a second. Is that really what I'm doing? You know, it can be a bit frightening. Having said that, can I recommend to everyone, and we'll put a link into this, that this Writing at the Reef residency, it's due soon. So we'll put it in. It's for 6 writers. You can have a collaborative project and you go and stay in like the science lab in north of Townsville or south of Townsville. It's somehow got to be related to the reef or nature writing or climate change, but it can be really loose.
It's pretty broad. I had
yeah, and
that.
You
it's
hang out with the scientists, and I just think it's the acest thing, and I think everyone should go for it. There you go. That's my thing.
Well, that's a nice note to end on.
Have you read anything? Tell me, books.
Oh,
we can't
yes,
leave without
we're
saying
do
books.
Book of the week. I was going to recommend If You're Happy by Fiona Robertson. Oh. Book of short stories. Beautiful cover.
Gorgeous.
I'm about 2 stories in. Excellent. 10 thumbs up. Really good.
I'm so ready for that. That is here. I want to recommend, which I've just read because I am interviewing her on a panel at Adelaide Writers Festival. So any of our Adelaide people, please come and say hello. It's called Night Blue by Angela O'Keefe, and she'll be in conversation with Claire Thomas, who wrote The Performance, and we'll be talking about art. But the reason I wanted to mention this one, it's a debut. Angela's book, Night Blue, is a debut. It's written from the perspective of Jackson Pollock's painting, Blue Poles. It's such a cool idea, and the writing is really amazing, and it's just a little book, so you can get it and just read it quickly in a sitting. Just really amazing. I recommend it highly.
Oh, I love that.
See you at your launch. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And a reminder to people bringing the salad, etc., for our social media and the rest of it, that come up and say hello to Catherine and I. Get photos if you want, tag them, put them out.
Oh, I've got an Instagram thing that Tex got printed for me, where you hold it up and then you like are inside the frame.
Oh my goodness! Okay, that is just more reason. You have to come and get a photo with Catherine's Instagram thing, and you can even say in your text underneath that we made you do it, because that's.
I don't want to be in all the photos though. Like
no, yeah. Will you start doing that awkward smile? You know, when you like the wedding smile.
Tired,
oh, God, don't make me do it anymore. I don't even know who you are. No, you're always very gracious and generous. You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the First Time podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.